Forrest was shaking his head, denying everything. The door opened and Allison stuck her long, angular face in. "Everything okay in here?" she demanded. "Fine, yes. We're swell." 7 more minutes," she said, then closed it. They sat there forever, both staring blankly at different spots on the floor. Not a sound from the outside.
"I only wanted half, Ray," Forrest finally said.
"Take half now."
"Now's too late. Now I know what I'm supposed to do with the money. You showed me."
"I was afraid to give you the money, Forrest."
"Afraid of what?"
"Afraid you'd kill yourself with it."
"Well, here I am,"
Forrest said, waving his right arm at the room, at the ranch, at the entire state of Montana.
"This is what I'm doing with the money. Not exactly killing myself. Not quite as crazy as everybody thought."
"I was wrong."
"Oh, that means so much. Wrong because you got caught? Wrong because I'm not such an idiot after all? Or wrong because you want half of the money?"
"All of the above."
"I'm afraid to share it, Ray, same as you were. Afraid the money will go to your head. Afraid you'll blow it all on airplanes and casinos. Afraid you'll become an even bigger asshole than you are. I have to protect you here, Ray."
Ray kept his cool. He couldn't win a fistfight with his brother. And even if he could, what would he gain by it? He'd love to take a bat and beat him around the head, but why bother? If he shot him, he wouldn't find the money. "So what's next for you?" he asked with as much unconcern as he could show.
"Oh, I don't know. Nothing definite. When you're in rehab, you dream a lot. Then when you get out, all the dreams seem silly. I'll never go back to Memphis, though. Too many old friends. And I'll never go back to Clanton. I'll find a new home somewhere. What about you? What will you do now that you've blown your big chance?"
"I had a life, Forrest, and I still do."
"That's right. You make $160,000 a year. I checked it online. And I doubt if you work real hard. No family, not much overhead, plenty of money to do whatever you want. You got it made. Greed is a strange animal, isn't it, Ray? You found $3 million and decided you needed all of it. Not one dime for your screwed-up little brother. Not one red cent for me. You took the money, and you tried to run away with it."
"I wasn't sure what to do with the money, same as you."
"But you took it, all of it, and you lied to me about it."
"That's not true. I was holding the money."
"And you were spending it. Casinos, airplanes. No, damn it! I don't gamble, and I've been renting airplanes for 3 years. I was holding the money, Forrest, trying to figure it out. Hell, it was barely 5 weeks ago."
The words were louder and bouncing off the walls. Allison took a look in, ready to break up the meeting if her patient was getting stressed.
"Give me a break here," Ray said. "You didn't know what to do with the money, neither did I. As soon as I found it, someone, and I guess that someone was either you or your buddies, started scaring the hell out of me. You can't blame me for running with the money. You lied to me. And you lied to me. You said you hadn't talked to the old man, that you hadn't set foot in the house in 9 years. All lies, Forrest. All part of a hoax. Why did you do it? Why didn't you just tell me about the money? Why didn't you tell me?
Maybe I was going to, okay? I'm not sure what I had planned. It's kind of hard to think clearly when you find your father dead, then you find $3 million in cash. Then you realize somebody else knows about the money and will gladly kill you for it. These things don't happen every day, so forgive me if I'm a little inexperienced." The room went silent. Forrest tapped his fingertips together and watched the ceiling. Ray had said all he planned to say. Allison rattled the doorknob, but did not enter. Forrest leaned forward and said,
"Those two fires, the house and the airplane, you got any new suspects?"
Ray shook his head no.
"I won't tell a soul," he said.
Another pause as time expired. Forrest slowly stood and looked down at Ray.
"Give me a year," when I get out of here. Then we'll talk.
The door opened, and as Forrest walked by, he let his hand graze Ray's shoulder. Just a light touch. Not an affectionate pat by any means, but a touch nonetheless.
See you in a year, bro,
he said. Then he was gone. This is Michael Beck. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Summons by John Grisham. This program was produced and directed by Bob Walter, executive producer Dan Zitt. Text copyright 2002 by John Grisham. Production copyright 2002, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.